Welcome to Breathe In Blues Out for the month of September, or August actually, but moving into September. I'm Jesus, and along with me is Ryan.
What's up?
And we'd like to welcome back Eric for, you weren't here last time, so.
Yeah, I wasn't here last time due to scheduling conflict and fake. So, I'm here this month because this is probably going to be my favorite show every year.
What, because this is the Brewmaster's Edition?
This is the Brewmaster's Edition of Booze In, Breathe Out. Breathe In, Booze Out. See, I'm gone for a month and a half and I forget the name of the show.
But we're here at Backfish Brewing in is it Pearland or Friends?
It's Pearland. Okay.
There's the sign that says Welcome to Pearland is really right out there because it's a Pokestop.
Okay.
Right, that brick right there.
That happened.
Backfish has been open to the public for, 6 months already?
Maybe a little bit longer. I know they were in... I don't believe they were open for Brewmasters last year. I know they were still trying to get there as of mid last year. They were still trying to get licensing done. So they've probably been open maybe 8 months at the most.
I've been here once before. I had a really good experience with the beers. And have you been here?
Nope, first time. And I'm trying to figure out why it's my first time because it's literally 10 minutes from my house.
Have you had any of their stuff?
Nope. All new experiences for me.
It's gonna
be
good.
It's gonna be good.
What about you?
I don't venture outside the loop unless I have to.
He's got inner loop disease, yes. Or syndrome, or cancer, or whatever you want to call it.
The troll doesn't come from under the bridge unless he has to.
No.
If you'd like to find Ryan, he's normally located at the corner of Pierce and West Gray, panhandling for change.
Yes.
And Drea's not here today, but we've replaced her with opinions from Johnny, our friend, and Alva, which will come in little by little and talk about.
They'll come in later to chef.
Exactly. So we've got four of the beers. You want to try them out?
Yeah, why not? Let's say I've been sipping on them for a few minutes, and I'm pleasantly surprised. Surprised, actually.
So we're going to go down the line. Which one is this one?
So we're actually going to start from my left to right. So we have the All Y'all Golden Ale. The Sol Lunar Saison, which is their seasonal. Their Amber, which is called Trapped In. And then the Defying Gravity Double IPA.
So,
enjoy. So we're going to start with All Y'all Golden Ale. It's a 6.5% Golden Ale that they're actually classifying as a Texas Ale. Kind of comes off a little hefe, a little wheat beerish, a little gold, a little cream. It's got a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah. Very hefe, and then it has that cream ale. Let's say a little cream ale aftertaste to it.
Not bad.
I'd question whether or not the banana flavor is supposed to be there, but all in all, pretty tasty.
That's what I taste too, like right up front.
Very, very estuary.
Yeah.
However, though, the saison going for, but you know, I mean. Let me backtrack a second. So the Golden Ale is probably one of the beers that's the most open to interpretation here in the state, because the Golden Ale, the Blonde Ale, the Cream Ale, they're basically the same beer. So it's just all a matter of interpretation. If you wanted to do a banana golden, do a banana golden, knock yourself out.
But it's hard to classify it.
It's just a mix of this Golden Ale in specific is really a mix of a lot of different things. But the Saison, on the other hand, is quite tasty.
That's very...
kind of fruity, kind of spicy.
That's more fruitier than the typical Saison.
Well, not really. I mean, there's two different styles of Saison. You've got St. Fouin, and you've got Fouin yeast and DuPont yeast.
I like Saison, so this is actually it's quite good.
It's quite tasty.
Quite. Who said voice?
That's Drea.
That is not Drea.
I said Johnny is here, a friend of ours. And he is also one of those, I don't have to get out of Houston unless you force me to.
Yeah.
He's here today joining us.
Loser's don't know, but he had a haircut.
Yes. it's been a few months since I had a haircut, actually.
What's this one?
That's the trap. They're trapped in amber. I think it clocks in at 5% flat, just a traditional American amber. Straightforward, to the point, no frills. Just easy beer.
Yeah. That's pretty. All right. Pretty ice.
I've been getting a banana flavor from all of these.
I kind of got a scent of that off of the hook. Yeah, like the first thing that I smelled was immediately like some kind of banana.
Really?
Fruity smell. Yeah.
Okay, so a banana smell or banana taste comes from one of three things. It's either a grain that specifically throws that flavor, a yeast that specifically throws that flavor, or it's a fault in the beer. So
when you say a fault in the beer, is that like a negative thing?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on your interpretation. So when you have a fault in a beer, it really more speaks to the youth of your brewery. So you know, if you're open for 4 years and you have an IPA that has banana fudge pop flavor to it, that's probably a pretty bad problem, and you really got to look into fixing that. But when you're a brewery like Backfish, which has really only been open to the public for probably 8 months now, you're still in the middle of working out the kinks and all your processing. I mean, it doesn't matter how accomplished of a home brewer you are, or how accomplished of a home brewer or of a home brew group that you're that the crew that you brew with is, it's going to take 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 batches of something, really, before you really are able to dial in everything, whether it be recipe, whether it be hop build, whether it be just the equipment in general. And, you know, of all the things that you could find in a beer that would be considered like an off style flavor, honestly, banana is probably the one that you want, because that is a compound called diacetyl acid. And diacetyl acid is actually something that you really want in styles like a triple or a saison or a hefe or most of your wheat beers. Not necessarily what you want to find in an amber or a gold or an IPA, but it's one of the off flavors that's the easiest to clear up from a brewing standpoint procedural wise. And honestly, it could be worse. You could have dimethyl sulfide running around, which is basically liquid Band-Aid and theater popcorn butter.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, buttery Band-Aid, not a great thing.
Buttery Band-Aid.
So, would you say that these beers would taste better in pajamas?
Bananas?
No. Bad faces. Bad. Bad show host.
That joke fell down the stairs.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was awful. The double IPA is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not... It's not one of those like world class kind of transcendent double IPAs, when you think world class IPA, you think Catalyst from Texas Beer Refinery, think the double IPA from Saloon Door, Lone Pines Yellow Rose, Pliny the Elder, Dale's Pale, Lagunitas. You know, the list goes on and on for what you would consider, you know, like world class IPAs and double IPAs. This isn't a world class beer, but it's solid.
Yeah,
it's very well designed.
Yeah.
And no banana.
Except for me.
I'm gonna say a sip of this, Connie.
Yeah, go for it, man.
This is a circle. It's
surprisingly very good. It's a lot smoother than I expected it to be.
That's good. That's just plain old IPA.
Yeah. And it's simple, but it's really, really good. Like, it's... I could probably drink this all day.
This is a founder. Not all the
ideas. Well, yes, thank you, Jesus.
Also, I think it is like a 6.5. So.
Yeah, it's a little on the strong side.
That's not strong.
For me.
11% of you.
11, well, yeah. That's pretty damn.
That's how Jesus rolls now.
Right?
That's how Jesus rolls.
I just like turpentine, that's all.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we're not in downtown Pearland. We're kind of out in the suburbs.
There's a downtown Pearland.
There is a downtown Pearland. It's at 288 and 288 South and 518, and it actually looks a lot like the Galleria.
Really?
Oh, okay.
And you know, for those of you suffering from inner loop syndrome, if you start having withdrawals, just go over there. You'll be fine.
There you go, Ryan.
There we go. Let's go meet there later.
But I mean, you know, we're out on the outskirts. We're more on the Friendswood side of Pearland. We're about three blocks from King's Beer Garden.
Yeah.
And I mean, to have the nation's number one rated German restaurant right next to a brewery, that just honestly makes sense, and it makes for a good afternoon if you want to come down all the way south.
Did you say German restaurant?
Yeah. Yes, King's Beer Garden.
Right down there.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
I just had a craving for like German food in like the last few weeks. So like,
well, tell them what you told me about their Oktoberfest.
Oh yeah, so every year King's does an Oktoberfest where it's like. Last year, I went 2 years ago, and it was twenty or twenty-five bucks at the door. You got a wristband, and it was all you could drink beer, all you could eat brats.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Holy crap!
And they make all their bratwurst in house.
Oh nice.
They make all their schnitzel in house. Everything is basically farm to table for King's Beer Garden, because you've also got, you're a stone's throw to Froberg Farms down in Alvin, which is one of the largest open to the public. Grow your own kind of farm.
And they've
got plenty of access to fresh meat producers, so I mean everything over there is super fresh, and literally it's a half mile back towards Dixie Farm.
Awesome. Might have to set up a day for backfish and that.
So, but you know, the question might come up, like, you know, we're on the south side, you know, we're on the south side of town again. Yep. We're down in the Clear Lake area.
There are any breweries in the north, like Conroe?
There actually are. We need to go visit Back Pew up in Humble. We need to go catch Copperhead out in Conroe. Go see B52. Yeah. You know, go do an outdoor show in the fall at B52.
Yeah, we can do that.
Because everything at B52, you're outdoors.
Oh, right. B52 is north?
Yeah, B52 is off 105.
Oh.
But I mean, when you run down the breweries that we've been to Saloon Door, Eighth Wonder, Texas Beer Refinery, now Backfish, yeah. Of all the areas in the town and town that we could have gone, one of the biggest reasons why we're here at Backfish today is because Backfish is one of the title sponsors for the Brewmasters Festival down in Galveston.
Oh, cool.
Now, if you've listened to the show in the past, you're sitting here going, "Okay, wait a minute. When's Eric gonna ram around this festival down our throats and into oblivion?" I like this festival. this isn't one of the two festivals he likes. This isn't the smoldering dumpster fire that is Houston Beer Fest.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, we can try these. This is the Circle, the IPA. Johnny didn't want to share with anyone else. So.
It's for her to share, not for me.
Oh, which one was that one? Then?
This is the Circle IPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say that was the wit?
The Circle wit.
No, we had the wit earlier.
That's interesting.
I tell you wit is what I meant. That's what she's having.
That's really interesting. That's smooth. It's easy. It's a sneaky 6.5. Still a little bit of banana on the back end. But I mean, I can say this about if we taste that a little bit of that banana in the brown, I can almost guarantee you there's something going on process wise that's throwing that, maybe a temperature variance that's causing that to show up, because it's showing up in all of them.
That's the Circle Hook IPA, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, that's what we just had.
I hadn't had it first, Johnny.
Okay, I didn't know you didn't have it.
You didn't want to share it, so we had to go get our own.
That's it. Back off my sample. I haven't talked last week.
Now you know how good it was. I chugged it.
She's still like, not even.
I know. I mean, honestly, I haven't had a beer in a while, so.
Well, we're fixing that. So, this is their goat rubber. It's their ground porter.
I love that name so much. I don't know why I like it. It's just the fact it's like goat roper. That's so awesome.
I mean, the first thing I thought when I first saw it, I thought it said goat pepper. I was like, what the hell is a goat pepper?
Well, trapped in, I was expecting to listen to trap music. So.
6% brown porter. Hey. Ooh, nice and roasty. That is a fabulous porter.
Yeah.
That is really, really solid. Nice and roasty, chocolate on the back end. Nothing hiding or running around in there. Decent hop profile, nice body, nice finish. Drinks a little lighter for a 6%,
which is not bad. That's
not bad at all, actually. That's very delicious.
Very light and it's sneaky. Like
it's actually you know what? It's actually probably one of the reasons why this is going to be one of their first beers that comes out in cans, because the Let's Talk Texas Craft Facebook group just got a preview of the first two cans that are going to come off the line for Backfish, and one of them is goat rubber, and I can see why.
What's the main ingredient in porter that makes it so dark?
A chocolate malt, usually.
Goats. In this case, yeah.
Okay, goats.
fire roasted goats just goes right into the batch.
Cabrito, sir, cabrito. No, under normal circumstances, if you see anything with that color, they've used chocolate malts.
Gotcha.
That's also what's giving you sort of that roastiness, that chocolate finish.
Yeah.
That's all grain. There's nothing else in there.
Hey, it doesn't taste like banana.
That's what I said. It doesn't taste like bananas. It's actually very delicious. Actually, if there's banana in here, I'd actually like it a lot.
Banana porter. Does anyone make that?
Well, it would taste a little fudgy.
What would be like the Buffalo Bayou one?
Mud turtle?
No.
No.
Oh, you're talking about the banana foster. I still have one of those in my fridge, but I haven't tried it.
Yeah, if there's a little bit of that banana off flavor in there, that would taste a lot like banana foster.
Is that banana foster pretty good?
Banana foster is fabulous beer.
Right.
If you like bananas.
Yeah, I love bananas. That's why I picked it up.
So it's
got a strong banana flavor.
You got to really enjoy like either banana based desserts or just banana in general to really get into that beer.
You get a banana, eat two bananas every day.
That one would be perfect.
It explains so much.
It probably would be. Yes. That's a perfect breakfast beer.
Yeah.
Two bananas a day and a fascination with hot dogs in unusual places, yes. Ryan?
Exactly. Hot dogs in unusual places. That's my favorite new Facebook, you guys.
Hot dogs in unusual places?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Is this real?
I was just looking at the hot dogs inside a rubber glove. It's great.
And, Johnny, now you know why. Now you've just experienced why this show gets off the rails so quickly.
This is amazing.
So, yeah, the Bananas Foster is... better enjoyed in pajamas while you're going down the stairs.
I was just showing them a picture of a banana inside a bong. It's great.
Alva would love this page. Hot dogs in unusual places. I know, but she's
so awful.
Hot dogs in unusual places.
Incredibly awful. So off topic.
Just go through the feed.
So off topic. So.
Yeah. To drag to Chris the head brewmaster over here to talk to us a little bit.
You might have to drive.
First, Eric is going to tell you how bad or good your beers are real quick on a record.
How long have y'all been in production?
We opened our doors on March 14th.
Was that coffee?
So a few weeks before that.
Okay, so right about basically 5.5 months then.
Yes.
Yeah, beers are where they should be then. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Beers are exactly where they should be then.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. For 5.5 months of just production work, very well done. Still, you know, but also they show their youth. They're 5.5 months old for a reason. Still feels like on a few of them you're still working out the kinks, still working out some process issues with a few of them. But otherwise, from just a sheer backbone and a formula, you've got six really nice beers on your hand here. Six very nice beers.
So this is my second time here. And for some reason I'm really curious as to what this building was before.
It was a equipment tool rental facility.
All of us were wrong.
Yeah. I was going for a band here for a reason, because for a while for the drive-through kind of looking thing over there.
No, they had a little place to pull up underneath and pick up stuff in the rain and that kind of thing. So.
Oh, that's neat.
It just worked well for us.
It did. Yeah. I like the tap room here. It's really nice. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, which one was one of the favorites of the lineup?
For me coming off the six that we tried, the Goat Roper has to be my favorite that you've got right now. I'm a gigantic Saison fan as well. I love that you went more fruit forward instead of spice forward on it. I'm assuming you're using probably a clone of like Saint Fuens yeast on it, more than likely.
It was the Y yeast, French Saison yeast.
Saint Fuen.
Yeah. Okay.
Saint Fuen's they're a French French saison house. Really, really like how bright and sunny it is. For your year rounders, that Goat Roper really takes the cake for me. It's by far and away your most the most polished of your offerings, and it also has the most depth of more depth of character than the vast majority of the porters that we find here in the state have. It's very well done.
And for I know you're on draft here and a couple places like Houston, but for canning or bottling,
yep. looking at canning, TABC proved four of the five labels I sent them. I'm only planning on going to you, so cans with three of them starting out, but that's all in process right now. So as long as it takes the canning company to get through the mock-ups and designs and stuff like that.
Now, are you going to be using a mobile canning line, or do you have one here in-house?
Mobile canning.
Who are you going to be using?
American.
Okay.
But which beers are you planning on using in cans?
We're going to start with our three biggest sellers, which is the All Y'all Texas Ale, the I Tell You Wit, and the Defying Gravity.
Nice.
I Tell You What, it's because of King of the Hill, right?
That's where it came to me. And then it's one of those funny things. You know, you sit in the tap room and
listen
to people speak, and they say, I Tell You What, all the time. It's like, man, I didn't realize how much people said this until I named a beer that.
Oh, it's basically South Texan. Like, you can't grow up in South Texas and not say, I Tell You What.
Yeah.
Because it's its own sentence down here.
It is.
It's an entire sentence in this area of the state. I Tell You What. Oh, yeah. So I love the very simple nature that that the labeling that you've come up with has. And it's here. Sorry, as I'm talking, I just realized that Jesus hasn't looked at it yet. I just saw them for the first time last night, and they're very eye-catching, very well made. And the you're coming out of the gate with the Goat Roper, the Wit, and the Defying Gravity is really a great strategy. It's three one category that's very, very woefully underserved in the Wit and Wheat Beer category, and then a very two very competitive categories where labeling and juice is really what matters.
I mean, minus a couple points for not putting Hank Hill's like big face.
I'm pretty sure Mike Judge would walk in here and sue somebody.
I'm pretty sure Mike Judge would be like, give me a couple beers and of those and you'll be okay.
I thought about putting like a propane thing on there, but
yeah, just put a propane tank on there. That's great.
Just make the can look like a propane tank.
I would buy this on principle.
So you guys are going to be taking part in Brewmasters next weekend?
Yes. Yeah, my partner will be down there. He'll be hosting our table there.
Is there going to be any special beers for that?
Possibly. We're looking at doing a new beer I did with a local homebrewer here. We collaborated on a recipe. We might be putting that out down there.
Nice.
Cool.
Let's see. So y'all are going to have... You know, y'all are just doing keg only down there next weekend, right? Yeah. So under normal circumstances, at Brewmasters, when you have a brewery that's keg only, you usually only see two different styles from them, and that's how the organizers kind of keep that. You know, so y'all are the first brewery that I've seen that have gone to the festival that the organizers have let use six or I think six or
we're,
seven.
We're taking four.
You're
there.
Taking four?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And basically, we just pay two entry fees.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
It's like, hey, let's roll out there. We know it's a big beer fest. We make a presence there.
So. Well, y'all are one of the sponsors, aren't you? In one form or fashion?
Maybe. We might have. Yeah, just from paying.
Sort of end around?
They're like, all right, yeah.
Eric was pretty sure that you guys were the, and that's why we came over here. And I think it's just because he wanted to record over here.
look, it was actually closer for me to come here than your place, so that's all I'm saying.
Welcome anytime.
Well, he's going to be here more often now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're a half mile away from one of my favorite restaurants in King's Beer Garden. So, I mean, and you know, door to door, it's 10 minutes for me. This is simple. This is super easy to get to for me.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for stopping by and talking a little bit with us.
Appreciate it.
We'll let you go back to the brewery stuff.
So you're going to have a beer called the Boomhauer? That'd be fantastic.
Oh, no. It did make the name list. I won't lie. Now somebody else is going to take it.
Yeah, thank you so much, and we'll be keep drinking your beers.
Thank you.
So that was Chris from Backfish. I live maybe, 10, 15 minutes away from here?
Probably, yeah. Give or take.
It's another great brewery, man. All these breweries popping up all over
the
place.
The Gulf Coast region for the area of Texas is really going berserk. And you know, especially when you figure now there is a brewery that's going to be opening up in Port Arthur. There's a brewery in Corpus Christi now. There is a brewery in there's a brew pub in Victoria, which is about 45 minutes to water. And then you've got everything over in Louisiana, everything going on in Florida. You've got Alabama and Mississippi are stepping up their game. The Gulf Coast region of the states is very slowly becoming one of the premier regions in the nation for booze traveling.
And with its own style as well too.
Yeah, especially when you talk about IPA, stout, brown, and alternative Belgian. We have our own styles really kind of opening up down here.
And I like that. Like, it's very different. We got to take you to Saloon Door one day too. You'd love that.
Saloon
Insta Twitch facing.
Yeah, he's Insta Yelp Snapchat casting something. But you know, why are we talking about the Gulf Coast region and about a little bit of booze traveling? Well, it's really simple. Brewmasters in Galveston, which happens every year over Labor Day, this will be the seventh year for the festival, is one of the most traveled to festivals in the entire nation. Thrillist and USA Today combined to do a top 10 beer fest in the nation worth traveling to, and the top three ended up being the Bend, Oregon annual festival.
Bend, Oregon, whatever it's actually called.
I just always call it the Bend, Oregon Brew Fest. Then you've got the U.S. Beer Open that happens in Los Angeles. GABF came in at number three, and number four in the nation was Brewmasters in Galveston.
Wow!
So out of the top 10 festivals, the top three are the three biggest competition festivals in the nation, and then Brewmasters on lowly Galveston Island. Regularly hosts about 9,000 people over the entire weekend. And the event that everyone looks forward to every year, which Breathe In, Booze Out will be doing some coverage on, is the Saturday afternoon session called the Brouhaha over in Moody Gardens that starts from that VIP starts at 1, general admin starts at 2, and it runs till 6:30.
That's the big hall, just like, you know, JBF and all that.
Yep, there'll be 85 tables this year. Each table being anywhere from 2 to 4 different beers. They're touting for general admin right at I believe 450 different beers this year to try. And if you have a VIP ticket, which hey, all media members get to go to the VIP room, gentlemen. We have the VIP room, which yours truly will be working this year for his second year in a row. We have 32 additional special selections for VIP members.
Yeah,
and 32 additional beers on top of the 400 plus that are going to be on the floor, and that's only if you're a VIP member. And I believe out of the 6,000 tickets that they have available for general admin, I think only 250 or 300 of them are VIP.
Some of those beers include Sisyphus. Have you ever had the Beast?
We haven't seen the full official list yet, but there's some VIP staples that tend to pop up every year. Avery's Beast, Anniversary Rasputin, which is the Bourbon Barrel Rasputin. Yeah. They always have a couple of things from Odell that are special releases in there. Avery usually makes an appearance with Beast and one other of their High Gravity series. The VIP room tends to be a lot of either limited release or barrel aged selections.
That's pretty cool.
Ever had that Beast? 17%
stout.
Are you serious?
No, it's not a stout. It's a Grand Cru.
I thought it was a stout.
No, it's oak aged.
Okay, so which
one? This year.
Mephistopheles is the stout then. Okay. Yeah, I'm
I've heard of Mephistopheles. I've never had it though.
Mephistopheles will ruin your world.
Yeah. 17%. I can still be alive.
I mean, is it still beer at that point?
Yes, yep. Absolutely it is.
Wow.
It's non-distilled, therefore it is beer. I mean, End of History from BrewDog is classified as a malted beer, and it was 55%.
Holy crap.
That is more than whiskey.
Oh, speaking of which, there's a new world record holder for alcohol by volume. It's a brewery out of Sweden. Okay. I don't know the name of the brewery, but they clocked in at 62.7%.
Holy crap.
Yes, I have whiskey. That's 57%. It's supposed to be really, really messy.
Yeah, no. This was 60 with a 6.
Yes, no.
Not 50.
No, we can't do it, no.
So that, damn, crazy. That, is it the Brew Dog? That one is the one that comes in
the taxidermy squirrel. Yeah.
They put it inside of a stuffed squirrel, the bottle, and then they... Yeah.
Why?
Because why not?
Yeah, it's just to be.
You made a beer that was 55%. You're gonna argue about what the bottle looks like?
Yeah, I think it's like $2,000 a bottle.
$7.85.
Oh, $7.85. Okay.
Yeah, it's under a grand. But you know those bottles, much like BrewDog's Sink the Bismarck and Tactical Nuclear Penguin. Every time one of the bottles gets so they still make Tactical Nuclear Penguin from time to time, but Bismarck and End of History, every time one of those bottles get open, the other bottles go up in value because they only made them once.
Oh, it's kind of demand action, you guys.
It's kind of like the what's known as the Jefferson bottles in the wine world. Thomas Jefferson loved French wine so much he used to have it imported. So right before his death, there was one last case that was still floating around at the time of his death. Right now there are 9, I believe it's 9 unopened bottles left in the world that are known as the Jefferson, bottles. At auction, an unopened bottle goes for about $21 million.
Wow.
And every bottle that opens almost doubles the value of the remaining bottles now.
Dang.
They are...
How many are left?
At last count, I believe there's 9 known bottles that are unopened.
So you start a various of them.
So if you had 2 bottles, you could drink one and just double the value of the other one.
Yeah. I was like, well, I could sell both of these, or drink one and then sell one and get the same price.
Exactly.
It's touted that they're saying there's people that have projected that when the final Jefferson comes up for auction, it should go for somewhere around $750 million.
I don't know, but I kind of want to be around
to meet the person that's going to pay $1 million per milliliter per bottle.
Yeah.
Because these are standard wine bottles we're talking about. I mean, they're 750 mil.
Yeah.
One of the bigger reasons though why they go for so much is because every bottle, because it's dipped in wax and sealed, all the bottles are completely drinkable.
I was gonna ask.
I was gonna say, like, wouldn't a bottle like that be
like
mostly
vinegar by now?
Yeah. Or...
The oldest drinkable vintage in the world is in a wine cave in Germany, underneath the Dr. Bossemann Jordan winery. It's in a cave, and the bottles are wax sealed. 1811, and that is the oldest drinkable vintage on record still available in the world.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to say I drink cave wine.
I was going to say,
I can actually. I can actually say I've held those bottles before.
Oh, nice.
Really?
That's really cool.
But to drink them?
You kidding? I asked and they said no.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know.
They're like, let go of that bottle right now. Right, get
exactly.
out of here. Get out of this cave.
It's like, you're really big and really German. Leave.
I'm just imagining coming home with the end of history. My wife's like, you paid $800 for a dead squirrel. It's not the squirrel, it's inside what counts. You know?
The guts of the squirrel, yes.
So, guys, you know, back to Brewmasters, and I know we're digressing and we're talking about different beers, but you know what? That's really what Brewmasters is about, is getting together with friends, going down to Moody Gardens for the afternoon, and just trying as many beers that you've never heard of before. And getting the chance to talk to brewmasters and brewery owners and brewery reps, and if you have a VIP ticket, being able to hang out away from the rest of the general populace in people too cheap to spend.
Sorry, I just called our audience plebs. I'm sorry, guys.
Ryan.
It's also important that when you go to those beer festivals to have a safe ride home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I do highly recommend stay on the island if you can. And if you stay on the island, I mean, there's like 17 different after parties that happen on the island at one point or another. I myself will be hanging out at Stute Garden on the Strand for the Bluebonnet Distributing party. We're going to have 7 of our breweries there that evening, and all 7 of them are participating at the festival as well.
When is the festival again?
Next Saturday. It's every Saturday before. It's the Saturday before Labor Day every year.
Just go.
I can't. Yes, she's a friend coming in from out of town.
Just bring a friend.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So,
show the friend that's coming out of town the beautiful waters of Galveston.
Yeah.
The brown waters of Galveston. Browner than any brown ale.
Appreciate it more when he's drunk.
So if you go to brewmastersbeerfest.com, that's where you're going to be able to find all of the information that you're going to find, not only from participating breweries. It looks like they actually have the VIP list up now, which is really cool. See if they've got that updated.
I've seen some of the events. They even have Nacho Tequila or something?
Nacho Tequila evening.
Nacho Tequila night. So you get nachos and you get to sample tequila.
Those are two great things.
That sounds like a terrible night of bad choices.
Okay, so here are your breweries, and now they've got this published, I can talk about it a little bit more. Here are your breweries for the VIP room. Five Stones Brewing out of Cibolo, just north of San Antonio. And if I remember correctly, that's going to be Barrel Aged Sleepy Hollow, which is a bourbon barrel pumpkin beer. Dude, you'll like this pumpkin beer. My old home away from home, Adelphus Brewery, is in there, and I believe they're going to be in there with Triple Treat. Alaskan Brewing is going to be in there. I believe that's Galaxy Smash. Alesmith Brewing, that's either probably going to be Speedway or Old Numbskull. Alpine Brewing Company is in there. I'm not sure what they're going to be. Avery, Brassus Valley Brewing is making an appearance at VIP. Brooklyn, Buffalo Bayou, Clown Shoes will show up. The Collective Brewing Company, Elysian, Founders Brewing Company, Great Divide, Carbach, Knee Deep Brewing, North Coast, Odell, Pedernales Brewing Company out of Fredericksburg, Ranger Creek from San Antonio, Real Ale from Blanco, St. Arnold Brewing Company, Shipyard Brewing Company, Six Point is there, Stone Brewing is going to show up, Uinta is going to show, Victory Brewing. And that's your that's just the breweries inside the VIP list. As far as participating breweries are concerned, that list is a lot bigger. But a few of the highlights: Three Nations out of Dallas-Fort Worth, 11 Below, local brewery. Abbey Valdieu, it's an 800-year-old Cistercian abbey from Belgium, is going to make an appearance with their beers. We also have Alamo Beer Company. All-timer Lewis and Brewing out of San Marcos is going to be there, and they're relatively new. I haven't had anything from them yet.
Yeah, I haven't had them either.
Hey, look, Backfish is on here. I wonder if they're going to be there. And guys, the list just goes on and on and on. I mean, BS Brewing out of Seguin is going to be here. I don't think they've left the Hill Country in over a year.
I like this logo for Cobra Brewing.
What's great? So you got Cobra, go two more, and then you get Copperhead.
Oh, nice! A bunch of snakes.
Damn snakes in the grass.
Dos Equis will be there, guys.
Dos Equis!
Ooh, yay, awesome! Hey, look,
the man is not the Dos Equis guy's not there anymore.
Hey, look, Eureka Heights.
That's our buddy.
I haven't been there yet. Isn't he good?
I don't know. We haven't been there either. Our buddy Casey Motz used to work for St. Arnold's. He did the Divine Reserve 14 for them, and then moved on to do his own thing.
God, I can't. Fetching Lab. I mean, who are they to be there? Fetching Lab and Valve. He's also making awesome beer. Hey, Brett.
Like Saloon Door, he's also a former engineer. I guess engineers like to make beer.
Hey, check that out. Foolproof out of Rhode Island.
Yeah, I've had some of their stuff.
I haven't had any of theirs yet.
It's good. It's good. Their peanut butter one is really good. The peanut butter porter.
Mm.
That's one of their specialties right there. Yeah.
Very cool.
I think their Saison is a silver medal winner.
Really?
I believe.
Which year? How many years ago? That's not bad. Yeah, as long as within 24 months. We have our second Gulf Coast beer, Galveston Bay out of Dickinson. Sorry, third. I'm sorry, and then Galveston Island. Goliad, Green Flash.
There's also Locust Cider.
Huh. All right.
I've had their stuff. It's interesting, to say the least.
Interesting good. Interesting bad.
Interesting good.
Okay.
kind of on the weirder side of cider,
all right.
But not sour weird, just kind of off the beaten path weird.
Huh. All right, worth a try.
Mateo and Bernabe and his friends are going to be there.
Who's Mateo
and Bernabe? Mateo y Bernabe and friends. It's actually a brewery out of Rioja Valley, Spain.
Okay.
And the beers are named for the five Spanish-born Catholic saints.
Whoa.
So you have Mateo, Bernabe, Fermin, Santiago, and Danielle.
Wow, that's some. You learn history while you're drinking beer too.
So I find Merchant du Vin to be interesting because they're an importer, so you never really know what they're going to have there. But they're the guys that have Samuel Smith and a few of the Trappists.
Hey, how quick can we make up a beer real quick and sell it?
How quick can we make up a beer and then sell it?
Yeah.
That depends. Like, how good do you want it to be?
Let's make a really good beer. Like, a really, like, dark beer.
Oh, hey, guys, look. Small Town Brewery is going to be there with all of their Not Your Father's crap. You heard me. Not Your Father's crap, people. Don't drink bad root beer.
I don't like that.
That stuff is so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, because if we hurry up and we can cash in on the rage, we can have something called Haram Beer.
Haram Beer, yes.
Haram Beer.
The meme brewery.
I'm done.
here comes Dad Wit, you know? The meme brewery. That's going to do it.
Dad Wit.
Dad Wit.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, looky here. Here's a not brewery brewery. Truly spiked and sparkling by Smirnoff.
That's Smirnoff?
Yes, it is Smirnoff.
So I actually had one of those. It's the spiked sparkling water.
What the? I saw the other day something. It was LaCroix, but it was alcohol.
So let's talk about this real fast.
Spiked water?
Because we've got we got 30 minutes. Let's talk about this real quick. So, this is a craft beer festival. Okay. The shit is Smirnoff doing there with a brand?
It's, like, for people that have significant others, they're like, I don't really like craft beer, you know?
No!
That's what Dos Equis, Guinness, and Shiner is there for.
Yes.
But they might not like beer. So
but that's what
ciders are for.
Yeah, ciders,
that's what
exactly.
Ciders are. Locust, McKenzie's, Ace, Angry Orchard, all there.
Yeah.
I don't know these brands, okay? I like Smirnoff.
But it's not Smirnoff. It's called something different.
I was surprised that it's Smirnoff. I had no idea. But
it's Smirnoff malt liquor, I guess?
No, that's actually
water.
Called Smirnoff.
It's sparkling water with a hint of fruit flavor, and then a hint of alcohol.
You know, if I put whiskey in my Topo Chico, that's sparkling water.
I mean, we went to Target yesterday, and we saw spiked seltzer, is what it was called.
Yeah, this is truly. Yeah.
That's actually a really good point.
Yes, yeah. I do. If I want to cut my whiskey or cut my vodka, I'll put it in sparkling water. So...
That's actually a really good
what
point.
Would you sell
if you put whiskey in Topo Chico, technically it's spiked sparkling water.
It tastes great.
That's just an amazing point by you, Ryan. I would have never thought of that. Actually.
So I'm really upset by it. Why would you sell that?
It's really bad.
You can get like Topo Chico for like 89 cents. Or
I
less.
Thought I was hoping.
I mean, who would
Topo
buy
Chico?
Well, what? I guess. What kind of people are they
what
targeting
market is that?
With this? Yeah, like what market is this?
Women
25 to 34.
Has anyone else noticed that Zima has not been around for a while?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that market.
That market? What's the women 25 to 45?
Yeah, or those don't ice me bros.
Yeah.
But I mean, overall, I think the amount of quality beers outnumbers the Dos Equis and the Truly and everything. So
quite a bit. But I just always find it so fascinating that you have I'll even throw GABF under the bus here because you're a crap you're the Great American Craft Beer Festival, but you have a category that only Bud, Miller, or Coors could win in the American Adjunct Light Lager.
That's pretty lame.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually went to one of the beer festivals and I saw someone spend their entire tickets on beer on Bud Light.
Oh, you can just go to a corner store and spend like $2 on it.
I think my favorite like abuse of the system when it comes to the big guys. There's this little craft beer shop out in Nashville called Craft Brewed, and they carry Budweiser in the quart bottles, and they have it wrapped up in a paper bag, and they sell it for $30. And the sign right above the shelf that says, if you truly think it's the king of beers, you'll pay the price.
Quart bottles?
Quart. Q-U-A-R-T. Quart bottles.
Like, wow.
Yeah, quart. 32-ounce bottles.
So what people should do is like the don't ice me, bro. Or what would you do it with craft beer so you can share craft beer with friends? Like, here's a craft beer. Oh, I have another craft beer. Now we should drink it.
Those are called bottle shares.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Ball shapes.
Yeah. Don't ice me, bro, is a very bad fret joke.
Oh, I saw the 6 Point is going to be there. Speaking of 6 Point, I just had their puff the other night. Very good.
Nice.
Very, very good. And then I had their Tesla.
How was that?
Electrifying?
Damn it, Ryan.
We just need up.
It was so good that I stole it. Like Edison.
Oh.
So what'd you rename it?
It's an IPL. It's basically water. Like creamy water.
Creamy water.
Oh, that so Miller Lite but with hops?
Terrible. Yes.
It sounds really good. It tastes really good.
Really?
Your description
sounds terrible.
Yeah, creamy water sounds gross.
Yeah.
Would it have actually been worth the $15 a growler for a 32-ounce? Really?
For the puff, yes.
But for the Tesla?
The Tesla was like $11. No, I mean, I wouldn't pay for a full growler of that. I would pay for a growler of the puff. Also, I got to keep my glass.
Nice. What's the full name of puff? Like puff nuggets or something?
No, it's just puff.
It's just called puff?
Yeah.
I thought there was a second word there for whatever reason.
It's, it said creamy water, so maybe it's cream puff.
All right, I'm looking this up.
Are you
now.
Sure no, you had this beer the other day?
One of the puff was not creamy.
You probably got some puff, you know. Make a marijuana motion.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. It's dank.
It's really bad dank? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's such a great can.
Is it?
They call it a cloudy double IPA, but that's such a great can.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
That is great.
Sadly, we can't get that in cans around
here. So it's a 16 ounce?
It's a 12 ounce, but it's a skinny 12.
Oh, okay.
It's like the... if the Red Bull 8 became a 12 ounce, that's what the can is.
I got it in a draft.
Oh.
We have it in draft, but we can't get it in bottles.
Gotcha.
The one that I can't... I throw 6 Point under the bus so much every year, but the beer of theirs that they make that I just can't wait to get a hold of every year is Three Beans. Which is just an amazing coffee porter, and Sense of Harvest, which is their wet hop resin, which is just divine.
I haven't had that one.
Yeah, the Sense of Harvest last year was just fun, awesome beer.
I do want to bring up, I've been constantly having a brewery that's becoming one of my favorites, Tallgrass, that came, you know, to this area. Man, they have been knocking it out
that,
of the park.
Dude, that buffalo sweat.
I haven't had the buffalo sweat. I've had the zombie monkey.
I haven't had zombie monkey
the
yet.
Robust porter.
Ooh, nice.
Robust Baltic porter.
Buffalo sweat and zombie monkey.
Yeah.
And then they have 8-bit, and then they have the 8-bit pale.
8-bit pale ale.
8-bit pale is really
top
good.
Top rope IPA is really good as well.
Nice.
I haven't tried their Saison. We had their raspberry beer.
Good.
It's a raspberry Berliner Weiss.
Oh, nice.
It's one
that
of
sounds
their,
pretty good.
Yeah. And then they just put out another, I think it's a Berliner Weiss also, that's been aged in rye whiskey barrels.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
So one that I've been jonesing on a lot lately, Whitakirky from Belgium. They just make they make just a really, really nice, just like baseline wit beer. They're also the brewery that makes, Whitakirky also makes the Petrus series of beers. And they took the Whitakirky wit beer and fermented it on oak staves from making their sours. So they made a Berliner wit that is psychotically delicious called Whitakirky Wild.
Oh,
You're going to pay about $12 a four pack for a pint cans. Totally worth it.
For a pint, that's not bad. That's what,
four pints. Yeah, totally worth it.
$3 a
pint. Yeah, $3 a pint, effectively. Yeah. 100% worth it.
What is this beer called?
Whittakerky Wild.
Their zombie one, their zombie monkey one, though, I kind of laughed at it because I grabbed the can and I'm like, man, this is weird feeling. The can has, and it says on the can, tactical grip. Okay. So yeah, it's got like a weird like a
groove.
No, not groove, but it has like a weird coating that has bumps on it.
It's textured.
Oh, yeah, it's a textured can.
Yeah. But it's like a basically like a spray on lighter for the back of the
right
or whatever. That's kind of what it feels like.
That's strange.
That's weird.
I'll just drop it into
Did
my
you
little...
save that can?
No, they have them all over right now.
Oh. Yeah. That one's the zombie monkey?
Yeah.
What's the name of the brewery?
Tallgrass.
Tallgrass. Okay.
They actually
Dude, I love the can.
I saw a 24 pack of their 8-bit pale ale.
Uh-huh.
It was the Press Start Edition. It came in
That's
like
awesome.
A beautiful box. I'm like, man, I really want that. $35 for 24 cans.
$35 for 24,
that's pretty steep.
That's not horrible.
No.
I guess it's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's not horrible at all, actually.
No, exactly. So.
I mean, it's not $30 for, beer camp, but, I mean...
Which went on clearance afterwards.
Dude, that one HEB that I found them on clearance, that actually took them down to $10 a piece.
What?
Yeah, they had like 30 of them left a couple of weeks ago. They're gone now.
Oh, I bet they are.
For $10, yeah. It would. Everybody would just buy that. So. Oh, man. So, we're going to go ahead and calm it down, calm our tits down. Drinking some delicious beer here at Backfish.
Yep.
And next week, you can go to Brewmasters. We'll be around, kind of bugging people for interviews and stuff.
Say hi to us. Give us a high five.
Yeah, come here and drink with us out there.
And look out for probably a couple weeks after Brewmasters. I know we haven't really done the whole two shows a month thing yet, but probably a couple weeks after Brewmasters, we'll get all the interviews up.
Yeah, we'll do that. Also, stay tuned for our new beer that we're going to be making, Haram Beer.
Haram Beer, yes. And here come that wit.
Oh my god.
No. Oh shit, wit up.
Oh shit, wit up. Yes. Oh shit, wit up.
That's better.
I both hate and love this idea.
Meme beers, dude.
I was brewing a barley wine yesterday, and it's like I both hate and love this idea at the exact same time.
Oh, your barley wine can be Haram Beer.
No,
Haram Beer. It's strong like Harambe. Yes. This beer's gonna drag you across the.
Oh my god.
Oh man, on that note, we're gonna go ahead.
There is risk of injury if you drink this beer.
It's gonna cost. Honestly, they're not wrong.
You can pour one out for your homies.
Yeah, the Haram beer comes with two per pack, so you pour one out and then you drink the other.
Oh, 1 ounce per caliber that they had to use.
Oh, no. On that note, we're going to end this. So head out to Brewmasters, brewmastersbeerfestival.com, I believe, right?
Brewmastersbeerfest.com is where you can buy tickets, check out the beers that are going to be there, check out the beer vendors that are going to be there. My personal preference, look at they have a section called Brew Brains, where it gives a picture and a bio of everyone who's going to be there. As far as the beer representatives are concerned. And if you have a VIP ticket, come hang out with us.
Is Moody Tongue over there?
Moody Tongue will be there.
Okay, cool. Because they need to capitalize on the Moody Gardens Moody Tongue thing.
Yeah, we will have Moody Tongue there, I promise.
Oh, I got another one.
What?
VIPA Wave.
Vaporwave?
I hate both of
these. Let's go. Let's get out of here before we get too dank.